Okay, let's start off our week with Masach HaZavim. And we'll start off our week just with correcting an error. Last week when we were in Hackensack by Zoom and learning Machshirin, I think I said something about Machshirin being a four-parak Masechta, and that was a mistake. It's a six-parak Masechta. we turn attention to Masach HaZavim, Masechta number 9. And a lot of, in some editions of Mishnah, especially pocket Mishnah, the last four Masechtas tend to be printed together. Zavim. Zavim Tful Yom Yadayim and Uksin. Those are all the Masechtas. Taharis, like almost all Masechtas, and like almost all Sedarim. It goes in reverse size order. So these last four are the shortest. These last four are the four that are three or four prakim apiece. These often are thought of as a set. Not in terms of substance. They often come together. They're shorter, very dense Masechtas, and we're going to see a lot of diversity even within these Masechtas. So Masechta Zavim is about, in terms of the framework we've been using all along, the three areas of Inyanei Taharas. So Zavim is, as the name indicates, about Avos HaTumah. Several Avos HaTumah. Zavim gives us a focus on the Zav and the Zava, and also a little bit on Shechva Zera, on the Baal Keri. Rooted in the psukim at the end of Parshas Metzora, after the end of the discussion, most of Metzora, like most of Tazria, is about Tzaras. At the end of Parshas Metzora, after the psukim of Tzaras, the Torah turns its attention. Thank you so much. Thank you. The Torah turns its attention to several Avos HaTumah. Most of which are the focus of Masechta Zavim. So all familiar with what Shechvas Zera is. That's normal human male semen. And Shechvas Zera is an Av HaTumah, as the opening line of Seder Taharas tells us. That Sheret and Tmei Shechvas Zera are all Avos HaTumah, which are Metame merely Bimaga. There's a similar, though not identical, situation, which the Torah tells us has far more severe halachos in terms of Tumah V'Tahara, and that's the Zav, as opposed to the Baal Keri. Baal Keri is someone from whom emerged Shechva Zera. The Torah tells us someone who would be qualified instead, a man who would be qualified instead as a Zav, and his halachos are much more severe. What makes someone a Zav as opposed to a Baal Keri? So number one is that it's a different substance. It emerges from the same part of the body, but it's a different substance. It's not semen. Now, the Rambam and others explain that it's a sign of illness. Shechva Zera is a normal part of human biological functioning. Zov is some sort of emission that bespeaks an illness, and it has a different color and has a different texture and substance to it. So that's number one. To be a Zav requires that the fluid that emerges is Zov rather than Shechva Zera. Number two is the Mishnayos tell us in the second parak of Masechta Zavim, a fellow is only going to qualify as a Zav if not only that what emerged from his body is Zov, but that was Shalo Be'ones, that it wasn't a result of overeating or some sort of other overstimulation. And Mishnayos gives you a sort of a checklist to ask this person. If a person thinks he may be a Zav, you have to go through. Did you overeat? Did you overdrink? And v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. So it has to be shalo be'ones. Can't be because of some sort of external circumstance. And number three, in order to be a Zav, in addition to the substance being Zov and the re'ia not being caused by machel, mishta, and so on and so forth, number three, you have to have at least two re'ios, two separate events where the Zov left his body. If Zov only leaves his body once, he has one re'iyah, he sees it, he finds it once. So that's the opening mission in Zavim, that Beis Hillel tell us that a Zav Shara Ri'ah Achas has the same status as a Baal Keri. Beis Shammai may disagree, but we, not surprisingly, passing like Beis Hillel, Zav Shara Ri'ah Achas, he has the status of a Baal Keri. But again, if you have someone who had a male who had a Ri'ah Zov, this substance called Zov, which is different, distinct from Sheikh Zara, and Perek Beis of Shalom Ba'ones, and it happened at least twice, two separate events, where the Zov left his body, either on the same day or over the course of two consecutive days, so then he is a Zav. He is a Zav with respect to Tumah v'Tahara. And the Zav is, as we said before, very different, far more chumer than the Baal Keri, in at least the following three ways. As I mentioned in the past, there's discussion, the Rash and others, to what extent is the Baal Keri an Avatuma, to what extent do we consider him Tuma Yotal of Migufo. But even leaving that aside, there's at least three ways in which the Zav is far more chumer than the Baal Keri. Number one, in terms of while he's Tame, he is Matame b'mishkav uv'moshav. He is, the Psukim tell us, it's a fascinating thing that we touched on a little bit, we were surveying Maseches Nida, if he sits on, typically, if an Avatuma comes in contact with the Kli, this is sort of going back to basics here, an Avatuma comes in contact with the Kli becomes a Rishon Latuma. That's the Gemara, the first blot of Bava Kama, we discussed when we were learning Taurus, I believe, that Adam Akenim can become a Rishon L'tuma. Food and drink can even become a Shein L'tuma. Right? So Rishon L'tuma touches the Kli remains Tahar, and Avatuma touches the Kli can become a Rishon. One of the few exceptions to that, we spoke about exceptions to that step-down process of Kabbalah's Tumah, one of the few exceptions is the following. There's a small subset of the Avos HaTumah, and Zav is a very prominent member of this subset, that are Metame B'Mishkav Uva Moshav. To Metame B'Mishkav Moshav means that if the Zav sits on something meant for sitting on, or lies down on something meant for lying down on. So I have a Kli that's a Mishkav or a Moshav. I have a chair, or I have a bed, or I have a bed sheet, or I have a mattress, or something of that sort. So then he, the chair or the bed itself becomes an Av HaTumah. And there's a double chiddush in that. Number one, you don't have to be in direct contact. He doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be any maga. He doesn't have to touch the chair. As let's say you have a chair with a cover. I lie down on a bed and there's a mattress and there's a sheet. Right? So I'm touching. The Zav is only touching the sheet. He's not directly in contact with anything else. But all the clay moshav that are supporting him will become, number one, they become tame, which is a chiddush. If there was a sheretz on the sheet, a dead mouse on the sheet, so the sheet would become a rishon l'tuma, and everything below the sheet would remain tahar, because the mattress doesn't become a shein l'tuma. The clay came, don't become a shein l'tuma. Here, number one, the moshav can become tame from the zav without even being in direct contact. And number two, it doesn't become a Rishon L'tumah, it becomes an Av HaTumah. Now, there's an independent that the Rambam presents in his list of Avos HaTumah. Zav is one Av HaTumah. Mishkav Amoshav of Zav is another Av HaTumah. By the Zav sitting on this chair, he redefines this chair as the Av HaTumah called Moshavo Shel HaZav, Mishkavo Shel HaZav, and so on and so forth. Now there are beautiful details as you learn Maseches Zavim. This is one of the major topics in Maseches Zavim, is trying to work out the mechanics of Mishkav and Moshav. How does that work? Sort of like the physics of it. And let's say, and there are sort of related phenomena also called Heset, where one is causing the other one to be lifted or to drop. The Mishnah, fascinating Mishnah about, let's say you have a Zav and a balance scale. So like a giant, those old-fashioned scales with the two pans. And the Zav gets in one side, sort of like a seesaw, maybe we say in our language. Right? So this is a related, they're not necessarily the same as Mishkav Moshav, where the Zav is causing, the Zav causing someone else to move versus someone else causing the Zav to move. Right? If the Zav drops and the other person rises, or the other person drops and the Zav rises, in which case is there Tumah being transmitted? So a lot of that indirect the indirect Mishkav Moshev and related type of phenomena, these indirect tumos that have to do with being supported and leveraging. So that's a major topic in Masechet Zav. It's trying to figure out like what's included, what's not, which types of kalim which types of kalim are susceptible to this type of tumah. Sometimes it could be all adam v'kalim, and what types of motion, what types of support qualify as mishkav and moshav, which is sometimes more broadly called medras, or for heset. That's for instance the opening mishnah in Paragimel, where a Zav and a Tar person take a canoe together. So the canoe becomes Tameh, then maybe makes the person Tameh, and so on. So a lot of very, very intriguing Mishnais. So one major difference between, as I said before, once a person qualifies as a Zav, as opposed to merely a Balkari, he becomes a Zav Latumah, which again was a combination of the substance that emerges from his body is Zov rather than Shivcha Zera, and it emerges Shaloba Ones, and there are at least two Re'ios on the same day or in two consecutive days. So he becomes a Zav Latumah with three major Nafkaminas. Number one is this major, the primary topic of Masechet Zavim, that he's Metame Mishkov V'Moshav and Beheset, these unique types of Tumah transmissions. Unique in the method of transmission, unique specific Mishkav V'Moshav, the Mishkav V'Moshav actually becomes an Ava Tumah itself, if it's a Kli that's Roi, the Mishkav V'Moshav, and the term that's sometimes used is Medris, which literally means stepping on. Number two, in terms of differences between a Zav L'Tumah versus Balkari, is that he needs to have Shiva Nakiyim before he can go to Mikvah. Balkari, guys, we know in Mishnais throughout Shas, you know, a person becomes a Balkari, he can go to Mikvah that day. And he'll become partially Tameh immediately and fully Tameh the next night. That's the topic we'll take up when we get to Maseches Ful Yom. But his tevila can be immediate on the same day. The Zav, once you have two Re'ios and you're actually a Zav, you need a waiting period of 7 days with Shiva Nakim, 7 days of no Zov, and perhaps also no Shechva Zara, before he can go to Mikvah. And difference number three, in addition to the fact that the Tumah is much more severe, the time of Mishkav Moshav and so forth, and the fact that the preliminary to the Tahara process is Shiva Nakim, the Tahara process itself is something we made reference to when learning Mikvahs. Zav is unique in requiring Tevila B'mayim Chaim. That's what the Psukim say, Gzeres HaKasav, that unlike just about any other Tameh, and we mentioned that the May Paraduma has to be Mayim Chaim, and Tevilas Zav has to be B'Mayim Chaim. He cannot Tovel in a mikveh, he cannot Tovel in rainwater, even if it's a kosher mikveh. Here's a Kimad, a solitary exception, almost a singularity. He needs to actually Tovel in spring water. He needs to Tovel in Mayim Chaim, much as the Para Aduma, the May Para Aduma has to be Mayim Chaim, it has to be spring water. So those are the three differences between a Zav Shirash Shtei Re'ios versus a Balkari. There's an added level, and this is a Mishnah, if you, those who have learned Megillah recently, remember from the first parak of Megillah, if he has three Re'ios over the course of a day or two or three, then there's a fourth element, in addition to a Morcham or Tumah and Shiva Nakim, and Tevila B'mayim Chaim, the Zav Shura Gimel Rios also needs a carbon. He's going to wait Shiva Nakim. He's going to Mikvah on day seven. But then, if he's Rosh Shalosh Rios, he does not become fully Torah until day eight when he comes to the Beis HaMikdash and brings his Shtei Torim or Shtei B'nei Yonah. And until that point, he is what, once again, we've come across in the past, he is called a Mechusar Kippurim, or Mechusar Kapara. He's slightly Tamei because he's missing his carbon. More on that when we get to Maseches Tevul Yom. I should mention, many of these dinim, specifically of the Tumah Tahara, the Mishkav Moshav, apply to the Zava as well. but a couple of key differences between what makes a man a zav and what makes a woman a zava. So number one, it's there's no zov. It's unlike the zav, unlike in the male situation, where zov and shechva zera are different substances, and zov is an anomalous substance that's probably indicative of disease of some sort. The difference between zava and nida, it is the same substance. It's blood in either situation. The Torah tells us in broad strokes that the difference between nida and zava, no one has to do with timing. That nida is typically when it's expected within the framework of her menstrual cycle, whereas zava is when she's bleeding below es nidasa. The details of that are long sugyas in Maseches Nida beyond the scope of this survey. But beyond that is min ha-Torah. Min ha-Torah, another major difference between zav and zava is while by zav, and this is the Mishnayos make this point, by zav, it's a question of the number of re'ios, but they can happen on the same day. By a zava, it's a question of number of days on which she's bleeding. We don't count re'ios for the zava, we just count days of re'ia. So, and also, one more difference is by zav, the primary differentiation between one and two. Right? For one re'ia, he's essentially the same as Balkari. Two, he's already basically a zav. And a minor difference between two Rias and three is just with respect to carbon. Whereas by the Zava, one and two are basically the same. If she bleeds if she's a Zava, Sharasa Yom Echad, or Zava Sharasa Shnei Yom, are basically the same thing. The din is Mishnah tells Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. She can go to Mikvah that next day. She Rasa Yom Echad, so the next day, day two, she can go to Mikvah. Rasa Shnei Yomim, day three, she can go to Mikvah. Once she's Rasa Shlosha Yamim, that's when she really has the full status of a Zava, and she requires Shiva Nikim, seven clean days, as the Zav does. She requires Shiva Nikim before she can go to Mikvah. I should mention that the dinim I was just talking about, the closing caveat, in terms of Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom, if she's Rasa Yom Echad or Shnei Yamim, she has to keep one Naki day, and she can go to Mikvah on that one day. That is not relevant lahalacha in terms of iser veheter. As we spoke on the past, when we learned Maseches Nida, Nida and Zava are relevant, and Yoledes, all three, are relevant both to iser lebaila as well as tumah v'tahara. And while we differentiate between those three, Nida, Yoledes, and Zava, in terms of tumah v'tahara, right? Do you wait 7 days? Do you wait shiva nikiyim? Do you wait shemeres yom keneged yom one day? Yoledes, as we discuss, is even more days. Sometimes it'll be 14 days. But practically speaking, that's only relevant for tumah v'tahara. In terms of iser v'heter, in a marital context, between husband and wife, we do not, lahalacha, differentiate between zava and nida, and in any case, we require, from iser v'hetzer perspective, we require shiva nikiyim. That distinction, which is true in tumah v'tahara, is at least midrabanan, not true in the world of iser v'hetzer. Again, this is some of the fascinating world of Masechta Zavim. Just five prakim. I say before, I made a mistake before. I corrected my mistake about Machshir. Machshir is a six prakim. I think I said before that Zavim is four prakim. That was also a mistake. Zavim is five prakim. And five very, very rich and fascinating prakim. I said before, particularly the focus primarily in terms of the mechanics and the magic of Mishkav and Moshav and of Heset, which is a world unto itself that's headquartered in Maseches Zavim.